Welcome to this edition of RPA Edge podcast. This is Fred Barstein, contributing editor for RPA Edge. And I am pleased to be here with David Musto, who is the CEO of Ascensus. Hope I'm getting that right. I've known David for a long time. Previously, he had been at Empower when Empower acquired JP Morgan's record keeping division. And David has also had senior level positions at Cigna and Prudential, and was actually the creator of the JP Morgan DCIO division. So very storied past and great credentials. So welcome to the RPA Edge podcast, David.
Thank you, Fred. Excited to be here.
Well, the obvious topic is Ascensus had made big news acquiring a Newport Group, bringing your participant count is up to 15 million participants and 150,000 plans. Do I have that right?
Yeah, 15 million savers across what we do in the retirement, education, and health world.
I see.
And yeah, 150 specifically retirement plans that we serve across our business.
Great. And how many participants in the retirement business do you have?
We will be serving, when combined with Newport, a little bit over 5 million participants.
Over 5 million participants. Great. So the first question, you know, it made a lot of news and a lot of impact. What went into the thinking of acquiring Newport? Why did Ascensus do that? What was attractive about Newport for you and the fit? And why did you feel like you needed to make that acquisition? Because I'm sure there was wasn't cheap. You know, none of record keepers are these days, which is good. So what's the why on this, David?
Yeah, and for us, we didn't view it as much as a need, as much as a big opportunity to bring more value to the market and to our clients. As the market is consolidating and it's transforming pretty significantly, so we're watching that play out before our eyes. And leadership doesn't just require scale, right, in terms of efficiency and size, but it's really about winning business models that are delivering outstanding value and better outcomes, both for advisors and clients and partners and savers. So this was a great opportunity for us to be able to strengthen, create our capabilities. We focus on tax advantage savings solutions across retirement, education, and health. And we've been able to carve out a really strong position in the retirement market with an independent approach, investment independence, really deep expertise, strong purpose-built technology, and really strong and operating disciplines. And that DNA is a thread that runs in a common way with Newport, but we also have a variety of complementary capabilities that are going to enable us to serve our partners and clients and advisors more broadly than we would have otherwise been able to as the past Ascensus alone.
And where are you with the acquisition status and in the integration status and the timetable?
Yep. So we're expecting to close later this quarter. We are taking very much a best of the best approach. We're rolling up sleeves with our new colleagues at Newport. We're taking a look at capabilities and platforms and solutions and relationships, and really focused on how we can weave together those capabilities in ways that enable us to drive even more value for clients in a variety of different ways. And that's going to really be the focus. So our guiding principle here is really create best of the best in terms of solutions, and really no change just for the sake of change, right? Any change that we make in experience needs to lead to an enhanced service or a new capability or a better experience for the clients and advisors that we're serving.
And assuming that you're on schedule for the acquisition and closing, do you have a sense of when you might be integrating platforms? Do you have a timetable for that, or is that still to be determined?
Yeah, still to be determined. There's really strong technology that sits across both organizations. So, you know, there's always a lot made about underlying record-keeping platforms, but I think the key to really creating a great experience for clients is, you know, it's not just an underlying record-keeping platform, but it's digital experiences and it's other elements of the service that's getting delivered and capability that's being delivered. So we want to make sure we're making the right decisions across all those components. And by the time we close, I believe we're going to be in a position to be able to share, you know, more specifically with advisors and in turn clients, a general view of our roadmap there.
But the intent is to have one integrated platform, not have separate platforms for the different client base, correct?
Well, we might, you know, remember, we're not just serving defined contribution clients, but we have non-qual capabilities, COLI/BOLI insurance capabilities. Within a census today, we have 529 and state facilitated retirement markets. So our principle has been to really use purpose-built technology that makes most sense for the specific segment or client group that we're serving, and not to try and create a perfect beast that is going to serve every single client across all those different disciplines in a way that's going to deliver high levels of service at reasonable cost. And in fact, I'd say the secret sauce for Ascensus has been focusing on the right purpose-built platforms that enable us to deliver really high levels of quality and NPS, but be able to do that very cost-effectively and very efficiently with our partners.
Which brings into, you know, when you looked at Newport and the acquisition process and even the process you're going through now, where are the relative strengths of Newport versus Ascensus and, you know, vice versa, where does Ascensus maybe have greater strengths and experience than Newport?
Yeah. So we have commonality serving the small and mid qualified DC market. On the Ascensus side, we are also leaders in serving the government 529 education savings market, state facilitated programs, which we can talk more about. We have health, HSA, saving and spending capabilities. And we also are the largest national TPA, retirement TPA. So those capability sets are fairly broad and deep. And the underpinning there is some great technology, a lot of expertise around ERISA compliance and each of these markets, and also really robust data and analytics that we bring to bear for clients. The Newport organization similarly serves that small to mid-market qualified space, but they do have more relationships of larger size in DC. They have a larger set of 403B relationships. They're doing more in the PEP and MEP market. They are the market in non-qualified plan and insurance expertise and capabilities. They also deliver fiduciary services for very large institutions supporting stock programs and other benefit capabilities. So it's a really nice complementary set of capabilities across the organizations.
And you both had independently been an outsourcer, a partner with Vanguard, you on the 401k and the 403b. So probably not a lot of change there, right?
Yeah, we share a very important relationship with Vanguard, as we do with several other leading institutions, both record keepers and asset managers. At the end of the day, our partners are going to benefit, right, as we come together, in that we can be a single source of a broader range of capabilities that are going to be better connected, where we can really work with our partners at a more strategic level to add value. And, you know, when you take a step back from it, organizations that we serve, institutions like Vanguard and others that we serve, are looking to transform their own businesses to drive more growth, drive more profitability. And they're looking for partners that can deliver more depth, breadth, and flexibility in the services that they bring to bear. So we think this is a great thing for our institutional partners. We think it's going to be a catalyst to many more additional relationships in the years ahead.
Sure. And I know that our listeners, especially advisors, are concerned about their wholesaler, right? Because for many of them, that's their connection, their internal support, as well as concern about clients moving platforms, not only the time that it takes, but also the fact that they may be open to, and other advisors might be calling them saying, hey, if you're going to move a platform, you might as well look at due diligence and do an RFP. Do you have any insight on that for our retirement plan advisor listeners, or is it too early for us to say right now?
Yeah, it's a little too early, but again, you know, we wouldn't be doing this if we didn't believe that we could create an enhanced experience for clients and advisors and do that with minimal disruption. And all the advisors out there that have navigated record keeper changes know that when you pick up a client and go from, you know, one administrator to another, especially when those administrators are competitors, you have to figure out, you know, how they're going to cooperate. You got to move the data, and basically that client is going to have an entirely different experience than they had previously.
Sure.
We like to think that the clients here at Ascensus and Newport are here for a reason. So right. We're going to be able to maintain, right, those value propositions, but find ways to improve them.
And the number of wholesalers external for Newport and Ascensus, what do those numbers look like generally?
In combination, you'll see a field organization over 30 associates, sales representatives. And on the Ascensus side, we also have a separate field force that's focused in the future plan business, the retirement TPA business of right. over 30 individuals as well.
So moving to industry consolidation, especially a record keeper, where you've been a participant being acquired and now acquiring, do you see this consolidation continue? We still have more than 40 national record keepers that I keep track of out there, which it's almost like saying there's 40 airlines. Maybe we don't, certainly didn't need that. Will the consolidation continue? And if so, why?
Well, first off, we weren't acquired. We had a change of sponsorship from a capital perspective, which is different. But with that said, no doubt the industry is consolidating, right? Tons of competitive and financial pressure. Organizations looking to radically transform how they're delivering. And really, when you take a step back from it, there's a lot of businesses that are trying to figure out what business they're really in. And that's happening across the record keepers, the asset managers, the advisors, the consulting firms. So we believe, right, it's really important that you have a true north as it relates to the differentiated value you're going to bring to the marketplace and what you stand for and why you're different and better than others. We're pretty unique in that the majority of the business we do is with and through other institutions. So in our retirement business, serving large players like Vanguard, we recently announced a relationship with Goldman Sachs and Franklin Templeton and a variety of other asset managers and record keepers that rely on us to be able to deliver outstanding service and capabilities on behalf of their brands and their solutions.
And when I meant the other side, I meant when you were at J.P. Morgan, you were acquired by
Amazon. Sorry.
Not that Ascensus.
And similarly at Cigna. So I've been the had a close up view of two of the largest probably transformational acquisitions that happened in the market right. over the last couple of decades.
So I've sort of coined the larger record keepers the Fab Five just because I'm a big basketball and sports fan and it's very recognizable and. Sort of ruined that for me because, you know, the five I've said are Fidelity, Empower, Vanguard, Principal, and Voya, who have, you know, clearly have more assets and participants than most, if not all, of their competitors. But you've had me add a plus one. But you said you have a name for me that I can start using that's better than the Fab Five. What is that?
Well, if it has to be six, you can call it the Super Six. But listen, in with all due respect to those that might not be on that list, I get the thought of, hey, there's a small set of players that have significant scale and probably the right capital and profitability to not only survive but thrive into the future. But remember, there are a significant number of other institutions in the market that want to play in and around the retirement and workplace market. And there are firms like Ascensus that are able to support the delivery of their capabilities alongside other core competencies. Sort of the spirit of that Super Six makes a lot of sense in that context. But I wouldn't write off other institutions that have some pretty impressive capabilities and in partnership with others are going to continue to be able to grow their businesses and do that successfully.
Yeah, and it's a good point because even though Charles Schwab doesn't have a lot or as many participants on their DC platform, they're obviously very, very significant in the retirement market with rollovers. And then you have American Funds that outsources a lot of their record keeping, but you know, tens of thousands of plans where they're named, and you know, obviously a great money management. And then you have the two payroll companies, ADP and Paychex in particular, who have significant books. So it's a good point, but you know, the market likes simple. I with all due respect to Super Six, if it was Super Eight, maybe, you know, when we could have the, on that, but I'm not sure that's I'm going to say with the Fab Five plus one, for now until, but I'm always looking. And so, you know, these other five, and again, you know, there are many, many others, insurance companies, and now with retirement income becoming more important, that might have a great play. I know that Lincoln and Nationwide have, you know, come up in partnership with American Century, with Income America. So there are other opportunities to participate, but clearly, you know, those five, but they, when you include you in that group, they're all either using a proprietary assets or cross-selling benefits or wealth management as a business model. And none of them are private equity owned. So how does Ascensus fit into that? And maybe, like you say, it's really a different animal entirely.
Yeah, I think that's right. We are a different animal. We don't rely on asset management or retail relationships or advice, workplace benefits, which has made us a very attractive partner to other record keepers, other asset managers, and in particularly advisor firms. As we see the consolidation of great advisors coming together and creating more capabilities and infrastructure to be able to serve their clients at scale and be able to, you know, really bring forth their best ideas and their best solutions and do that efficiently and cost effectively, I think it's organizations like Ascensus and some others that are going to help those organizations succeed. And really our calling card has been our ability to create a bespoke solution or ecosystem for our partners. We do great administration and record keeping and service, and we've created technology that enables us to bundle in their preferred advisor managed account solution, right? Or their preferred model for financial wellness or income or other areas that are going to be important to our partners. And that does make us a little bit of a different animal. And, I think it also speaks to the new core competency in this transforming, consolidating market is that you need to understand how to partner. And even when you may be in some ways cooperating with a certain or serving a certain institution, and then in other ways supporting a direct competitor of that institution.
And you know, the fintechs, especially, I think there are about five of them: Guideline, Vestwell, Smart, Human Interest, and Forest All. You know, they've raised a lot of PE money. I think last year in 2021, they raised almost $800 million. How do you see these fintech record keepers playing in the market? Because it doesn't seem like they're going to be going away anytime soon.
Yeah, well, if you look broadly, right, fintech has focused on transformational opportunities across a variety of different business models: banking, payments, brokerage, advice. More recently, as you note, retirement record keeping. I'd say those efforts have been successful in driving more innovation and create. But in virtually every single case, there's been some consistent themes, And I'd say the first and biggest theme is that the customer experience alone doesn't make for a winning business model. Brand, distribution, scale, embedded customer base creates a big moat for existing leaders and really meaningful competitive advantage. So you used Schwab as an example before. You know, there were a lot of robo advice solutions that right. were coming into the market, raising tons of capital, right, without any profit. And firms like Schwab and Fidelity and Vanguard and others were able to replicate many of those experiences and best practices, and ultimately were able to lever their brand and scale and distribution and the like. Startups also need to be really laser focused on a very specific solution for a very specific segment. And oftentimes are challenged crossing the chasm into greater scale, greater complexity, broader market to be able to fuel their growth. Listen, I never count out any upstart competitor. And I think there are, you know, some wonderful firms out there that are really creating innovative and unique experiences for clients and experiencing success doing that. But we here at Ascensus feel like we have a moat with our purpose-built technology and our expertise and our distribution skill. And we're not going to rest on our laurels. I think in the future, we're actually a natural partner of many of those firms as they look to scale and look to tap into a broader set of more complex solutions in the marketplace.
Yeah, and to your point, two of the biggest were sold, Personal Capital to Empower, and then just recently Wealthfront to UBS. And each of those obviously have scale and brand. That maybe that robo didn't. So that's a great point on that. So as you look to the future, and you know, you have the state plans, the 529 healthcare, and there is the convergence of wealth, retirement, and benefits at the workplace. How does Ascensus, what's the future plans for you? What are you doing? And particularly as advisors are consolidating, you have these big aggregators. We're looking at CapTrust is on track to have $1 trillion under management by June of this year. What are you doing to support them? Do you see that as an opportunity because you are not competing for the participant on that? So how does that all play for future for Ascensus?
Yeah, I'd say our focus in the couple of years ahead, first and foremost, let's unify with Newport and make sure there's real tangible benefits to our partners and advisors, clients, participants. We have a great opportunity to continue to build on our leading position that we have in retirement and in government savings, 529, state facilitated programs, healthcare markets, et cetera. To your point on the convergence of health and wealth and workplace benefits, having expertise and capabilities across each one of the primary areas, or many of the primary areas, really provides an opportunity for us to better weave those solutions together from the perspective of the saver, the sponsor of plans, as well as the advisor that's looking to consult around a broader set of needs and be able to deliver expanding value in the years ahead. So That's really where a lot of our focus will be, in addition to continuing to invest in the foundation of technology, because it's all about data, data analytics, user experience, and also security, particularly in this environment. So those, I'd say at a high level, that's the focus. And when it comes to the big aggregator firms, we, as I mentioned before, really want to create bespoke solutions with and on behalf of those partners, so that they can be bringing to market the capabilities that make most sense for their specific target clients and their own value proposition. And we've had a lot of success doing that, and we've launched some bespoke capabilities recently with a number of aggregating firms, and fully intend to do more of that.
And then final question for you, David. You know, Future Plan was on a tear for a while, doing, look like, two acquisitions a month of TPAs, and that seems to have quieted down. And what's the status there, and how does the Newport Group acquisition affect it, if at all?
Yeah, so that business is still on a tear, but not as it relates to acquisition activity. And there were over 30 acquisitions over the course of sort of a 5-year period. And that was very deliberate. We saw a marketplace where there were a large and still continue to be thousands, right, of TPAs that are finding it challenging to invest in the technology that's required to be able to deliver continually improving service. A lot of these were lifestyle businesses that were operating within a pretty discrete geographical footprint and were limited, while they had deep expertise, were limited to a specific product or maybe just a couple of different types of product solutions. And then on the other side of the fence, you have the record keepers that are focused in the small mid-market that rely on TPAs to be able to grow their own client relationships, but they're dealing with several hundred, if not a thousand or more TPAs on an annual basis to be able to grow their business, which means, you know, multiple different approaches to data exchange, a lot of inefficiency in the way that they need to manage those relationships. So our goal with FuturePlan was to create a national firm of scale capable of being able to deliver value to the record keepers with consistent data and processes and be able to support them with that field force of over 30 individuals driving and selling new business, and to be able to support advisors with a high reliable and trusted partner that they can use and bring into the right solutions that primarily are focused in the smaller market. And with the acquisitions we did, we got the footprint, we got the depth and breadth of solutions and capabilities. We were able to amass a great deal of very seasoned talent across the country. And now we're really focusing on our organic growth and really making sure we translate that footprint into a lot of value for our clients. And as you see with Newport, certainly our focus has shifted a bit here to where we're seeing sort of a next stage or a next phase of more consolidation among some of the larger record keepers. And we'll continue to look at those opportunities as they come, but be very selective in where it makes sense and only pursue opportunities where it's going to help us bring more value to both new and existing clients.
Well, I'm sure you've got your calendar filled up every day between the acquisition, what you're doing with Ascensus and FuturePlan. So good luck with all of that. And please keep us updated, because I know that our listeners, especially RPAs, are very interested in that. How the effect is going to be with their wholesalers, their clients, and as you, if you do consolidate platforms, what that looks like. So we'll be looking for updates for you from you on that. And with that, I wanted to thank you so much for your time and good luck with these ambitious endeavors. I'll have to come up with another name for six, but right now we're going to keep it at the Fab 5 plus one. On there, because it is a little bit different. Ascensus is a different animal on that. So David, thank you so much for your time today. And thank you for listening to the RPA Edge podcast. We bring to you innovators and icons. And I think that David is probably in both categories to give you some insights on what they're thinking and what the future of the retirement plan advisor business looks like. So thank you, David.
Thanks, Fred. Really enjoyed the conversation. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And thank you for listening to the RPA Edge podcast.